And if you like to have a look at your notes, you'll see that this first slide is not on your notes, but it is a part of. Tui has done a wonderful job for me yesterday during that hot day. She got up and she sort of made it looking a little bit more inviting than some of my stereotype, the way I've got it, you know. I'm not very experienced at all this, unfortunately, but I'm getting better. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Getting better. So let's pray. Dear Holy Spirit, I just pray in these little time we've got, Lord, that you will cause this to be a rich outpouring of your grace upon us. Bless each one that's come today. May they leave knowing that you spoke into their lives. And Lord, you always speak grace and truth. You are Mr. Grace personified. You are grace and truth. Truth is the companion of grace. And we just thank you so much for today. And thank you for this week, Lord. Lord, we think of all those whales that have been stranded at Farewell Spit. My wife was saying 250 whales were stranded early this morning down there. And they've never seen so many dying whales. Bring a high tide into that spit, Lord. Bring a very, very abnormal high tide and get some of those whales out, Lord, I pray. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Okay. So we're going to have a whale of a time. And let's get it all sorted out here. Yeah, experiencing God's grace. So if you've got your notes, we're now going to go on to slide one. Okay, slide one. And the first thing I want to show you is this, that when we're talking about forgiving grace, it was always as a result of forgiveness is always the result of God's grace. Look, to the praise of the glory of his grace, to the praise of the nature of his grace. You got that up there? All right. I think we can take one off there. I think we can go one back there. Let's see. It's all coming on. That's strange because it was all animated. Now it's no longer animated, huh? The whole thing. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. So this word, this term glory of his grace, the word glory there means the nature of his grace. It is the nature of God to forgive. Isn't that fantastic? And so this word forgive, of course, means removal of our sins, removal of condemnation, etc. And notice what it says. It's according to what? What's it according to? We can all talk. We're a small group. What is it according to, everyone? It's according to the poverty of his grace. The riches of his grace. And it means his abundance. Abundance is like his enormous wealth of grace that he has. God actually forgives us. Now, when I read this word, Plutos, I'd never actually seen it. And Diane told me that people in high levels of finance and sort of society are often called plutocrats. Is that right? Has anyone ever heard of this term, plutocrats? Yeah, I'd never heard of that term. I've heard of someone being pluty, though, and that probably comes from that. Pluty, you know, pluty means sort of like thinks you're upper crust. So what, this is not being snobbish, but it says the forgiveness of sins is according to his incredible abundance of financial resources, okay, of his grace. It actually is a financial term, but it's talking about this incredible abundance of grace that he's got. So I want you to just remember that when God forgives you, there's nothing that's too big that he can't forgive. You might have felt like you were in a habit which you would be ashamed to tell anybody, ashamed that God even knows. And, you know, you wouldn't want to ever let that secret out. And you think, I'll never get free from this. I'll never get free. It's a secret thing. Let me tell you, God's abundant grace, it's nothing. It's nothing for God to forgive you from the most thing that you really just hate doing. Amen. He can do it. Can I hear a loud amen?
Amen.
Yeah. And this word says here, up the front here, accepted. And in fact, I won't turn my back to the camera. I'll look at this. Okay, all right. This word accepted, he has made us accepted, you know, is this word karatuo, which you know well, right? It means he has placed us in a highly favored position. So, you know, when the prodigal son's dad met him, he ran towards him. He was looking afar off on the veranda of his Queenslander. And, you know, he was looking and he saw the son coming home, right? Luke 15. And he ran and the Greek word is kataphileo. He fell on him and, well, he dropped heavy kisses on him and he kept kissing him. And it says it was like from his spleen. It came right from, you know, say, oh, son, it's so wonderful. And you know, this is something beautiful because he forgave him and then he gave him the robe, the robe of honor. That was the first thing. And instead of letting the son talk and say, oh, dad, I'm really wicked. And everything, oh, dad, please. You know, he just said, quickly, he said to the, called the servant, he said, quickly, come and get the most honored robe and put it on him. So what this means is when we come to Christ, you know, he puts this, and this is the process of becoming righteous. All this stuff I'm going to talk to you about, forgiveness, is the process that Jesus does in our lives quickly. Quickly in our lives, and he makes us suitable for the presence of God. He fulfills all these requirements. So forgiveness is very, very important. Okay? And it's according to his abundance. And in the same process, he accepts us in the beloved. So it's that who makes us acceptable to God? Jesus. And this word acceptable doesn't mean like the English talks about. It literally means we're given a highly favored position for the rest of our life. To be favored. Give him a hand, please. It's really good. It's really good stuff. Just like the prodigal son did. So Jesus, when he was talking about that in Luke 15, don't you like the prodigal son? It's a fantastic story. And it's all about God's love. It's not about the son repenting. It's all, hello, did you hear that? It's all about God's love. God's grace towards that wayward son. Okay, let's go into the next one. Ah, good. Now animations are working. All right. Now, the next thing I just wanted to say, and I'm going to wrap it up. I won't be talking about this again probably this year. So I'm just going to, these are some things that I felt I couldn't move on. And I asked the Lord, and there's a few things he said you missed out. So I thought I should bring them, and I'm going to package them up with CDs and package the whole thing. We're going to write it up, and then you can give it away to people. What actually happened to the cross on your behalf? What happened on the cross, rather, for your behalf? Okay? Now look at 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I passed on to you, and this is Paul. Diane will be mentioning this in Bible school soon, I reckon. First of all, see that first of all? What I also had received. Now you could read that and think, okay, this is the first thing he's going to say to them. But it was in chapter 15. So it's obviously not the first thing he's saying to them. Okay? So what does this first of all thing mean? About that Christ the Messiah died for our sins, according to the scriptures. And according to the scriptures, it's in Isaiah 53. He died for our sicknesses and he died for our sin. Our sicknesses, our sorrows, and our sin. Okay? And so that we could be reconciled. Now watch this. Watch these scriptures, guys, because you'll love these. Look. The English Standard Version says, and this is the same passage, 1 Corinthians 15:3. For I delivered to you as of first importance. Ah. As of first importance. Protos in the Greek. Means foremost in order of importance. Ah. So Paul is actually saying, I delivered to you as of the most significant importance was this aspect that your sins have been totally delivered with, dealt with. Totally dealt with. Can you say amen? Amen? It's very significant. So, you know, I'm starting this 8:30 service in here, and I had six people coming this morning, and right just before we started, they rang, and they said, oh, the child's been fallen sick, and none of us can make it, you know? And I sort of, my heart dropped a bit, and I thought, oh, Lord. But You know, I know there will be a brighter day coming up in a few weeks' time. And we'll start that 8:30 service where people can understand. First importance is you, when you get your house built in God, is to know there's been a total comprehensive job for you for the rest of your days.
Amen, that's right.
Did you hear that? Because it's a forever blessing. It's once for all time. Can I hear amen to that? For all time. All right, so two things then. First thing, okay, it was sort of like the first thing to speak about when you're in a Grace Church and to get this right in our lives, okay? And secondly, so there's NIV talking about the same thing. See, for what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance. And in the first one, of course, it was according to the riches of his grace. So that's the first two slides. All right, let's move on. Okay, I'll try and do this fairly quickly. So we're on slide three now, everyone. So slide three, you know this word forever, but I must tell you that when I saw this word forever, I joined it with a completed. I thought completed means, you know, forever. And so this word teleos or teleokin, and it comes from a word which means the job is accomplished completely. And I thought, oh, that's it. But then I found in Vines, and I was looking, and it said the word ever in the Bible is forever, and it was only three lines, and it said, it's this, as regard to our sin, all right? This is what it says. It's deanakis, deanakis. Now, the only reason why I'm giving you these words is because that's what it was written in. It wasn't written in English. So we're getting down to, digging down a bit to see what it really means. It means like forgiveness is given to you as a perpetuity. How many know what a perpetuity is? Tell me. Yeah, it's up on the screen. See? Perpetuity, you know, you can have an annuity and it's given in perpetuity. So when your granddad dies or when your mum or dad dies or someone that's going to leave you some money, say, an inheritance, they might leave it so that it'll go on in your life for the rest of you. Or they might leave you a house you don't have to pay for and you can have it for as long as you live. So for this word forever forgiven literally means continuing forever through eternity. You have been forgiven all of your sins, past, present, future, in perpetuity for all time. Once for all time. Once for all time. This is bigger than I thought. You know why? Because it's according to his bountiful grace. That gave me a little sort of like, Perth, you've dumbed it down a bit, or you've skinnied it down a bit, you know. But no, this is according to his bountiful grace. And first, it's first important in our lives for all of us, for me, okay, that the whole thing about sin is dealt with and then we can get on reigning. See, as I will say, no stain means no pain, no shame, no blame, now to reign. You'll see it on some of these. We reign when this job is well done. So those of you listening on World Wide Web, etc., I can just tell you, I'll need some drink. Oh, here we go. Got one already? Wonderful. This is most important when you're planning a church, is to help our people realize that they are totally, forever, once and for all, forgiven. Amen. Hallelujah. And that gives wonderful freedom into our lives. Okay? All right, now let's look at this next little bit here. It has been done forever and has been done completely. They are the two things. Forever and completely. So completely is the teleos and forever is this other word up there, which is difficult to say, deanakis or deanakis, deanakis, okay? And when you receive this deposit of truth, it is accredited to your account, the Bible says. Now, these passages regarding forgiveness are also written in the perfect tense. And the perfect tense means that, again, once for all time forever. So it's sort of like a most beautiful thing. Imperfect tense means you'll just have to keep doing them like they did in the Old Testament. So What joy we've got. We have already, when we came to Jesus, been a recipient of abundant grace. And that is how we start our lives. I wish I could have preached this to the Iranian people when they first came to our church. Because I fear that some of them, because they come so, not often, some of them come often, some come so, that they'll miss this series. They'll miss it. And it, they will still probably be troubled in this area of their life, even though most people never tell you about this struggle street. So here we go. This one is the next one. This one Christ, after he's offered a single sacrifice, shall avail for all time. So there you go. Avail for all time. Look at these scriptures. They're beautiful. For by a single offering is forever. There it is. Dianekos, okay, and completely, telios, cleansed and perfected. Perfected again is telios, means absolutely completed. Those who are consecrated and made holy. There you go. All right, I'm going to the next slide. All right, now, this blotted out, this was something that I got for the first time in my life this week. I always, well, I'd been teaching you that our sins have been blotted out. Do you remember that? Yeah. Right? And some people who are not quite as old as me said, what is blotting paper? We've never heard of it. We only went to school and used biros and pens and pencils. What was blotting paper? Well, blotting paper literally took you know, the you put it on with a fluid, you know, a piece of wood, a little stick and a nib on it, and you got it out of the inkwell, and then you started to write, and when the ink ran out, you dipped it back in the inkwell. Sometimes if you didn't know what you're doing, you'd take too much ink on your pen and it would start to flow across your page. So you grabbed the blotting paper and you blotted it. But there was still a stain. And so in the papyrus, you know, they did those wonderful things with vinegar and then they put a perfume on it. Isn't that fantastic? A film over it. And that there was, what was it called? Exhalifo. But the good news is this. Here it comes. Get ready. This one. He's not just blotted out our sins, but he's blotted out the law from our lives. Really? You know the law. He's blotted out the Ten Commandments from our life. Now, we have been teaching how the Ten Commandments passed away and all those sort of things. Let's just read this. Having cancelled, keep going, read with me. Having cancelled and wiped away the handwriting of the note bond with its legal decrees and demands, which was enforced and stood against us. What was that? Ten Commandments, the law. With all its, you know. Now, I thought, why did God, Jesus, if he's doing this great job with his great grace, why did he blot out the law? Because the law excites sin. It says in 1 Corinthians 15:26, is it? It says the strength of sin is the law. So the law, see, he moved on. He didn't stay in mixture. Now, as I travel across Australia a bit these days, I tell you, I find a lot of people saying, Pastor Purse, what should I do? You know, I'm in a church. I'm in a Baptist church or I'm in a Presbyterian church and I found grace on the TV with Pastor Prince and I believe it's true. But, you know, what do I do? I want to mix with other believers in grace because I see that grace actually takes us off the law. Is that right? Yes. It does. It's a new covenant of grace. Yes. The other one was an old covenant of the law. Yes. To bring them to Christ. Yes. Bring them to their knees to see that they were sinners. So it's really exciting to see for the first time this week I have seen that not only are my sins blotted out, but I'm no longer under the law because the law was blotted out too. Now, look what Tui's done on this. I think this is what she's done. Just look at this, look. There's the cross, right? The law was fulfilled and left on the cross. Okay. Hey, Amia, the doors are closed, huh? The door closed? Okay. They're having a good time out there. They had 25 kids at the children's church last week. Blotted out and cancelled, obsolete. Can anyone say hallelujah? And look at this. Look, the law. And it says it was nailed to the cross. The law was nailed. And when Jesus was taken down off the cross lay on the ground. The law lay there as an empty entity. No more power over our lives. Wow. Wow. And I see people saying, what should I do, you know? Because if the pastor is preaching the law, thou shalt love God. You should come to church on time. You should be this, that, or the other. You know what that law does? It excites in us an ability to disobey. We're a good old stubborn bunch, aren't we? Especially us Aussies. Yep. That's why we can play cricket, because we just... I'll wait for you to make a mistake and then I'll whack it. Okay? So, I love that the law, it says, was fulfilled and Christ, look at that, Christ cancelled. He blotted out the law. Would you just close your eyes and thank God over your life right now? Just say, thank you, Father, that the law has been blotted out for me at the cross. I don't need to live under that anymore. Now I live under grace. And that's why sin shall not have dominion, because he's dealing with sin. Sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under law, you're under grace. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. And so we experience freedom. How many of you have experienced freedom from the law in your life? It's a very beautiful thing. Just a handful of you? Okay. That's good. Okay. So the law was finished and our forgiveness was completed. The debt on our account was paid in full. The law required us to be righteous, but it couldn't make us righteous. The law required us to be holy, but it couldn't make us holy. Paul said, you know, as to the law, I was perfect. He said, I never broke one of them. There was a number of people in the Old Testament that never broke one of the laws. Yet they said there was no righteousness in it, because the blood of bulls and goats can never make us righteous. Only the blood of Jesus can remove the stains of sin. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. It's fantastic, guys. So this sounds like this is for primary one stuff, but this is what was brought to the grace churches. Deal with this thing thoroughly. Because when I say deal with it, you don't deal with it. He has dealt with it thoroughly. He has dealt with it thoroughly. So now we embrace it and walk in that we are dead to the law. You might like to say, I'm dead to the law. Stand up and sit down again, you know, like I'm dead to the law, pop up, pop down, you know, sort of thing. Dead to the law. Okay, look at Hebrews 8:13. When God speaks of a new covenant or agreement, he makes the first one obsolete. Out of use. And what is obsolete? Obsolete, out of use and annulled because of age, is ripe for disappearance. Everyone say disappearance. To be dispensed with altogether. So Jesus just didn't deal with part of this problem. There was two problems. The law, the self-effort in our life. Us wanting to do things our way or whatever. And there was also, you know, this actual sin. So Jesus deals with both parts and blots them out. Give him a hand, please. It's fantastic. You know, thank you for the cross, Lord. Thank you for your nail-pierced hands, bearing all my sin and shame. In love you came and gave amazing grace. Oh, we give you a hand, Lord. Thank you, Father. All right, let's move on. Oh, this is so good. Look, now this removed no more. You know about this, right? It's a double negative. It's very strong. No more. And I actually don't know whether this was rude. I don't think so. I just said, Lord, why can you not remember when you said You remember our lives. The Lord is not tired. You know, he never grows weary. And he talks about remembering the righteous. I said, how come when you say that, and yet you can't remember our sins? And you know what he said to me? You know what the Holy Spirit said to me? He said, because they've been forgiven forever, therefore I have no more memory. He linked it with this other truth. Because I have done such a perfect job, and forever, forever, once for all time, he said, I have no memory of your sins. Amen. They are totally removed. Yes. Ume, say it with me. Ume, ume, ume. Ume, ume, ume. Say it with me. Ume, ume, ume. Hallelujah. It's not that he's in denial about his memory and saying, I'm sorry, I've got dementia. I'm getting old. No, he's saying, the job was so well done that there is nothing to remember. Hallelujah. Come on. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I love you. Jesus, I love you. Their sins and lawless acts I remember no more. Okay, so I got that. So these are little things that God just sort of spoke to me this week. It's sort of fresh for me. And he said, don't move on till you get these things right. And then, of course, all our penalties have been cancelled. There is absolutely no judgment anymore. Condemnation is gone. There's no longer any offering made to atone for sin. No longer are we condemned. Can I hear an amen? All right, number five is so good. And sinful nature stripped away. Now, this is the first time today, although I did it on Friday, I will preach this message. And I feel so honored. I'm now going to preach because God has been dealing with me in my life and saying, Percy, if you are just saying that my sin, your sin was washed away, but I've still got the old nature within me. And that's what I've preached. So I've preached, look, that thing died. It says in Romans 6 that the old nature, the old thing with its passion and desires died. And when I was a university student, guys, when I was about your age, guys, boys, you know, I really, really struggled with this in my life. My dream life was absolutely crooked, absolutely unclean. And I knew that to be a missionary, because I was called to be a missionary at 14, I knew this thing was going to make me a hypocrite. I knew that God would give me the grace to preach the gospel, but underneath it, I knew I'd be a hypocrite. So through Watchman Nee's book, I found out, and he didn't say that it had been stripped away. He just says, and Paul uses another, it died, you know, so I'd run around the street as I did saying, I'm dead, I'm dead. But when I went into the Greek and looked at it, you have a look at this. This is very exciting. Watch now. Watch the scripture. Read with me out aloud because this is a new teaching. I've not heard Joseph Prince teach this, but it's a new teaching. Listen. Colossians 2:11. In him together, in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, but in a spiritual circumcision performed by Christ by stripping off the body of the flesh, the whole corrupt carnal nature with its passions and lust. Now, when I looked at this in the Greek language, it gave this analogy. It said, when the Roman Empire, because this is all in the Roman Empire's time when Jesus died, etc., right? And Nero was reigning, and he was the cause of Paul's execution and Peter's execution. But this is what I discovered. You know where it says he judged all principalities and powers in Colossians, which is very close to this verse here in Colossians, just a few verses on, right? And it said he made a public display of them, triumphing over them. Yeah, okay. Well, what they did in the Roman parade was this. Now, hear up, everybody, because this is exciting stuff. They marched these generals and everything else, usually naked. They sowed shame. Shame was the greatest force that people used against you when you were defeated. I so lovely think there's no condemnation for us.
Yeah, thank you, Lord.
You know, Jesus hasn't come to defeat us. Jesus came to conquer with us, for us. But When they came back, say they went to the barbarians and they had a fight, a Roman legion or a centurion, etc., they would come back to Caesar and they would come into Rome and they would lead captivity captive. They would lead like captives captive into Rome. And so they would have, all the gold and silver off their chariots and strip it all down to nothing. They would walk along, this general would walk along nude in like this and trying to pull a horse, say, behind him, and everybody laughing in disgrace. All his medals were divested off him. All his lapels were taken off him. Now, this is what Jesus did to our carnal nature, our old nature. And the word is divested. He literally stripped off every aspect of that thing that causes us to be like Adam. We got that from Adam, right? Jesus didn't get it from Adam. He was born of a virgin. Adam didn't get it when he was born. Eve didn't get it when she was born. When they fell into sin, as fathers of the nations of the earth, a sinful nature was born into human beings. The fallen nature. And this did not help when temptation came. Excuse me, I'll just get a bit of water down there. This did not help when temptation came. When there's a fallen nature, cut the branch, cut the tree trunk, and the roots just grow up again, right? And you think, oh, I've got to get rid of the roots of this. Oh, the struggle. And it's like Struggle Street. It's Struggle Street. It's Struggle Street. And you don't want to tell anybody about it, but it's just Struggle Street. Well, I found a way out by saying, I'm dead in Christ, and you'll know the truth and make you free. But this actually is a better understanding of it. Okay, now look at the Greek words now. Look, I love this. I'm not using these Greek words for any other reason other than to help you understand it. Okay, here we go. This putting off of the sinful nature. here it is. Stripped away. Apekdousis. Would you like to say that word with me? Apekdousis. That's the way it was written. Apekdousis. A divestment. Stripping off. Now, what do you call it when they go down to Canberra and they're given the Order of Australia and say the Queen, if you go to Buckingham Palace and she puts her sword on you, what do you call that? An investiture. This is a divestiture. Look, it means stripped away from you everything that caused the strength of sin or sin to reign. First thing, the law. Gone. Oh, people, hallelujah, the law's gone. Secondly, the carnal nature is stripped away from you. Yeah. Hallelujah. Like taking military personnel captive and stripping them of all rank and authority, medals gone. Carnal nature, Adamic nature, gone. Yeah. Now Paul can say, therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. In fact, the Greek says like a new species of humanity. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And that new is kainos. It means form, function, quality, brand new. Not new in time, like a new day or a new pair of trousers or a new dress, but new in nature, in the quality. Now, this is what I ask you to do. I ask you to embrace these truths. And if Christ shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Amen. Get this area right, then you can tell your kids how to do it. You can tell your churches how to do it. Ministers, first thing of importance, first in the order of importance is this. So, I love this, you know. I can go here, look, and it says here, look, my God, by My old nature has been stripped away. And so I take that this morning and try and hold that up there. I take it. And I wear it with honor. All glory to Jesus. And it's got TJ on the bottom. Thank you, Jesus. All glory to him. Can you give him a hand? All glory to him. You know, I'd have loved to have said this to 10,000 and heard them clap. I want to see this message go to Australians, people. I want to see this message leave this room and go far and wide across. Who will join me in this? Who will join me in getting this message out? Who will join me in getting this message out? Australians desperately, young people desperately need to hear this message of the gospel. Because it's the power of God unto salvation. Salvation means well-being. How can you have well-being if you've still got the roots of this tree growing away? You need to stand on redemption ground. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Confess what Christ has done for you. Now, so embrace, enjoy, and experience the complete forever victory. And I look at my watch here, my mobile phone, and it's 11:39, so it's time for us to close. So I'm going to finish off on this last point. Okay? No more striving, no more struggling, no stain, no pain, no shame, no blame. Now we reign. Interact with your stick-ons as we finish the service in a moment. Come and get a stick-on. And you don't have to wear it if you don't want, or you can put it in your diary, or you can put it in your car or whatever. Look, I have been forever forgiven. The sin and the law have been blotted out. What have I got over here? And you can come and just take what you want. And, you know, if you put on all five of them, you got the whole thing done. Five is the number of grace, and there are five things beautifully done for you at the cross. Okay. I remember the day, you know, Billy Graham, when I came to the Lord in 1959, people just said, oh, just say this prayer, Jesus, come into my heart, and then you're saved. And in one way, that was true. But that brought me on to Struggle Street. Because now I had this fight that says the flesh wars against the spirit, and nothing wins. Get rid of the Ishmael, the old carnal nature. Not you. Stand on the ground that it has been done. Amen. I love this, you know. Now, I just want to say this. So what does grace do about spiritual warfare? You know, I've heard people say, well, does grace have manuals about spiritual warfare and pulling down dominions and all that? Well, it says in Colossians that all the principalities and powers were judged at the cross. So they say, why should we be involved in any spiritual warfare? There is one, I sense, that we need to look at, and here it is. This is what I put to you. It's when temptations come to you. What do you do with them? When temptations comes to speed along the road and forget about it, break, or to go look at something which you shouldn't look at, or go and, you know, do something which you shouldn't do. Just temptation maybe to cut the job short. And I remember when a guy built our house here in Brisbane, you know, we bought all these bats. Stein and I bought all this stuff to go in between the first and second story to keep it cool downstairs, etc. You know, because we had a black roof, which was not a good thing, but we did. And you know, I was talking to the guy and he was saying, you come to my church. And I said, what church you got? He said, yeah, I don't mind saying this, okay. And he said, he's the Seventh-day Adventist. And he said, you are all wrong. You are all wrong. What church you go? I said, it's AOG. He said, you guys are all wrong. You're not remembering the Sabbath day. No, I said, Jesus was our Sabbath. He totally fulfilled it. We are free from that. And of course, I didn't know the grace answers. I wasn't in grace. But then one day I came in and I noticed on the back of his truck at 5 p.m., I left pastoring just to go down to look at the progress on our house on the way home. And I noticed that he had his wagon filled with my, what did you call it, insulation. And he was driving out. I said, oh, bro, I said, you're my brother, right? He said, yes. And I said, oh, where are you taking that? You're not taking it to the dump, are you? He said, no. I said, where are you taking it? And he didn't know what to say. I said, bro, where are you taking it? He says, I'm taking it to my own house. I need it. I said, but how many loads have you taken so far? He said, 6 loads. I said, so what about my thing? He says, you don't need it. And so we suffer with it. We've been suffering for quite a while with that. It wasn't well done, was it, Di? Oh, they were soundproofing so we wouldn't hear upstairs, downstairs, you know, soundproofing. So, you know, sometimes in jobs people tend to sneak off with things. Do you know what I mean? And I think he was a Christian. But, you know, under law you can rationalize it. Oh, he's rich, I'm not rich, la, 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 and all these sort of things, you know. So when temptation comes, look at the beautiful thing as I close. Look, how could I close on anything else but triumph? Amen? Look at this. For though we walk, live in the flesh, we are not carrying on our warfare according to the flesh. We're not, are we? The flesh is gone, right? And using mere human weapons. For the weapons of our warfare are not physical weapons of flesh and blood, but they are mighty before God for the overthrow and destruction of strongholds. And those strongholds are fortifications of thought and argument. 3794 Strong's. Go and have a look at it. Inasmuch as we refute arguments and theories and reasonings and every proud and lofty thing that sets itself against the true knowledge of God. And we lead, now here it is, every thought and purpose away captive into the obedience of Christ. Now, what does this mean? I sense that we probably don't know exactly what it means, but if we know that it's going to be good, let's have a look at it. How many believe it's good? And it's not us wrestling. So when the thought comes into my mind, you know, oh, you know, I don't know, I don't get these thoughts now, but you know, when a wrong thought comes into your mind, you lead it captive to Christ. What do you do? So when the thought, temptation to sin, Jesus did not have a carnal nature, but he was tempted. He was tempted. Could he have sinned? Yes, he could have. But what did he do? He led those thoughts captive to the Word of God. Now, watch this. We are told to lead our thoughts captive to the obedience of Christ. Where did Christ show his obedience? Come have a look. Come have a look. Look, this is really good. Look, watch. Now, I'll show you this. Romans 5:19. For just as by one man's disobedience, who was that? Adam. Failing to hear, heedlessness and carelessness, the many were constituted. That's us, conscious sinners. So by one man's obedience, who's that one man? Capital M. Jesus. Many will be constituted. Righteous means we have a right standing with God. And that's what forgiveness gives us. Made acceptable to God, brought into right standing with him. Now one more verse will really help you to get it. Look, Philippians 2:7-8, we're in Bible school on that. Look, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity, so as to assume the guise of a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being, and after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even death of the cross. So where do we carry? Where do we lead captive? Where do we lead captive our thoughts to the obedience of Christ? What obedience? To the death of the cross. Why? Because that's where our victory is. Sorry, devil, I'm dead. Dead men don't sin. Sorry, devil, my carnal nature's finished. Passions and evil desires finished. Sorry, you can go somewhere else. Try the neighbor. Love thy neighbor. You know, why don't you go down the road? Or better still, why don't you go to the place of divine appointment in Jesus' name? I will not have sin reign over my life because Jesus has done it all for me. Give him a hand, please. Hallelujah! Okay. How many enjoyed that today, please? There's a lot of food in that. A lot of food. Love sacrifice. Yeah. Beautiful. So we're going to put on the song, Love Sacrifice. What a sacrifice he made for us. Amen. Thanks, Joey. Yeah, I got to get one too, man. I just like this one, The Law Blotted Out. Because Percy's been a policeman in his life. PC 49, 448. Right by my heart. TJ is thank you, Jesus. Look at your note. TJ means thank you, Jesus. Let's stand and sing this beautiful song. Thanks, Joey.
Really good.
Yes, glory to you, Lord. Hosanna, Hosanna. Amen. Means Savior, Savior. Hosanna. Father, thank you. It's a lamp to our feet and it's a light to our pathway. It builds us. Thank you for your grace, unlimited, abounding, abundant, to forgive us like you have. We really love you, Jesus. We love you so much. Love you so much, Jesus. Love you so much. Father, as we have a little bite to eat now and fellowship, I pray, Lord, that the joy of the Lord will just bubble through right through us, Lord. The cleansing perfume of Jesus. And we go out, Lord, not to struggle. We go out now to reign. We go out with no blame. We go out with no shame. We came in like that, but some of us didn't realize it. And we go out now, Lord, with no stain, no sin. Hallelujah. We go out not with a half-baked forgiveness. We go out with complete forgiveness. Hallelujah. And we love you, Jesus. We love you. Oh, we love you. Pray you'll protect us from heat, especially the older ones. No, Lord, we don't say we pray. Lord, we thank you for protection, Lord. We thank you for protection. Hallelujah. We thank you for protection, Lord.